This hour of Overdrive is delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com. Never filtered, always fun.
If he just hates John Ferguson Jr., like, for no reason whatsoever.
Just out of nowhere.
It's just instinctual. Like, he just, everything about JFJ bothers him.
Like, if someone...
That's your guy.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
I had another meeting up in Vaughn today. I can confirm it's not my son.
You ran into him again?
No. Just people. It's not my son. So we're all in the clear.
Did you reach out to the mother just to say hello?
No.
That would have been my first phone call or my first reach out to be like, hey, remember me? I mean, I thought it was peculiar anyways because wouldn't the mom want to let you know? Like, hey, like how many times does that happen other than on Jerry Springer?
Well, why would you want your mom to tell you about that kind of stuff anyway?
Like, well, this is uncomfortable to get into, Brian, but... How many crazy nights did you have in your 20s playing in the NHL?
Yeah, I had a few.
A few.
Openly admit it.
Yeah, a few thousand.
Yeah, a thousand's a little rich for the number. I mean, I've had a couple nights where, listen, I was single until I was, what, 40?
Well, what, do you think it only happens with NHL players?
Exactly.
Everyone else in their 20s can't have a good time?
I was listening
to pigeons, though. You don't have the opportunity.
Dude, you played in Carolina. I was more popular in Toronto than you. I'll bet you I had more contacts in Toronto than you.
As far as what?
Just cruising around downtown, knowing bouncers and how to get into clubs. And
so you're 300 pounds and you're in college and you're going to bars. You would have more influence on meeting people than I would as a professional hockey player.
I was born and raised in Toronto.
Really?
Yeah.
Toronto.
So I know people from Toronto.
Okay, so you wheel into Rocky Mountain High, the size of Andre the Giant.
That's in the middle of nowhere.
I eat pizza, I go to college, and I want to try to be in radio. You think that...
For starters, I wasn't that size at that point. If we're talking early 20s, you said you dated this girl with the kid when you were 22, right? So when I was 22... What was your game?
You were like a side producer?
I was living downtown. No, I was still in school at that point.
Yeah, he was a student.
I'm just saying the people that I knew in Toronto that could get you into different places.
Yeah, well, here's where you would fail when you said separate checks and I laid down the Amex Black and there's no limit on it. You're out and I'm in.
Maybe I was a dine and dash dater.
Yeah.
Maybe. Who's to say I wasn't doing that?
Yeah, that would gain you a lot of respect within the female community.
Well, clearly I wasn't doing that. But you're talking about by the end of the night when the plastic goes down. By that point, you know, I've been in the club for a while. I've been in the bar.
You put the vibe out.
Exactly. That's right.
It happens. You've been in many of clubs, okay?
Yeah.
Do you think that you're the hot ticket, or you have like kind of a game in the bar
at any point in my life?
At 22 years old in college, trying to be a radio dude.
Yeah, probably at some point.
Zero game.
Probably at some point. That was probably the case. Yeah.
So you're telling me you had game where you're like, I'm going to be a radio host, and they're like, oh wow, that's so cool.
That's not the icebreaker. Like, who just starts talking about their future plans?
What's your icebreaker?
I don't. Because
I know mine was a heater. What do you do? I'm a professional hockey player in the NHL.
Well, I probably said the same thing. And guess what? When no one had phones, I was in the league.
I never.
How's that sound?
I never.
And by the way, I didn't go into bars and saying, "Hey, I played in the NHL." But when they
kind of sounds like you.
No,
did.
I didn't.
Kind of sounds like that's exactly what you did.
No, I didn't. But you know the question's coming up. So hey, like, what do you do? And you were like, "Oh, I live in my parents' basement. I want to be a radio guy." You had zero game.
I picture you. What was hot back in the early 2000s? I picture you at, like, my apartment. You ever go to that bar?
Yeah.
With, like, a Hurricanes golf shirt on.
Oh,
cruising around.
Pulls up in the Trans Am, Billy Madison, when he went to high school?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely,
so?
Yes.
But what's the song's playing? Stroke Me.
Yeah,
Stroke
by
Me.
Billy Squire.
Yeah, exactly.
You are the Billy Squire poster boy. Get that song really, for us, Moles.
I just kind of went out. I was always like the guys, like hanging out with the dudes, like just yucking it up, having drinks. And
right,
yeah,
out
I mean,
for a good time.
You came across females and had a good time, but you, I don't know.
That's right.
I don't think it was my, I don't know what my opening line would be.
Who has an opening line? Like, I've never believed that guy. Like, why would you have an opening
line? I don't have an
line?
Opening line either. It's just like, hey, how's it going? What's your deal? What's going on?
How
you know
are
what
you?
My opening line was? Who wants a drink? Let's
there you go. Can
you
I
guys
buy
want
you
a drink?
Drink?
Can I? Who wants three? Let's do three here.
Well,
shots
let's order
here.
100 vodkas
exactly.
and waters.
I want to hear if anyone has invested because it's a massive industry, like the book industry. Mm-hmm. How to pick up girls? How to do this and that? Because there's so many guys out there. You know, a lot of guys who are like, all right, how can I make this work? How can I meet new girls or whatever?
Dude, but it's very simple. You make them laugh. That takes care of the NHL, pro athletes. You're funny. You got game.
Funny's usually a good quality.
Funny's a good.
Well, you can't be ugly either. You can't be ugly.
Well, some, I mean, there are.
Like listen. I always say to people, like it's like, oh, it's not about the looks. You got to have interest. And I'm like, yeah, but you have to want to look at their face to actually talk to them.
Have you heard this story of Ronaldinho down in Brazil? Do you know the name Ronaldinho? He's one of the great soccer players of all time.
The Brazilian?
Yeah, remember the Brazilian? Not the great. This is not Brad Pitt we're talking about.
He's got the teeth, that guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. But
yeah,
I
the
mean,
long hair and the jibs.
But that's a different story.
He's a superstar soccer player.
You're a superstar, you can be ugly as sin.
He is marrying two women at the same time this summer down in Rio.
Okay, here's...
God bless this man.
Heading down that
like
path. This,
like, yeah.
I think there's a TV show called Me, Him, and Her or something.
Who's the
this
ugliest
guy's a
star
legend.
That has the... Because there's always, like, big stars out there that are ugly as sin, but they have...
I mean,
like,
stardom's a totally different world, right?
I used to want to say to my teammates, like, they come in with these whys that are... just 13 out of 10s. And I would want to say, like, if you're, like, working some other gig, like cleaning the toilets in the building, you're not dating her.
Well, obviously, but why would you say that to the guy?
Because I just had to tell him. I'm like, you have no business.
Would you say that to him?
I guess what happens when they retire, Brian?
Well, not all the time. Let's not...
Oh, really? Just 75% of the time. I played with a guy. He retired, was dating the absolute most gorgeous woman on earth. A week later, left a note. Thanks for the fun times. I'm out.
Check, please.
The divorce rate, I think, is like 60% for normal people. Like, just regular...
Well, no, I think it's 50%
in society. Pro sports, I guarantee it's around 80% after retirement.
Well, no, I think it's 50% after retirement, so you add that on. Like, if that makes sense. So you live your normal life, but then you add on, like, one out of every two that retire get divorced.
Yeah. See you later.
But that
thanks for everything.
But that's,
but that's real
a
life
lifestyle,
too, man. That
too,
happens
though.
In real life.
It does happen in real life.
Oh, really? If you retire from radio, you think Aaron's going to say, nah, I'm not doing
she
this
She might.
Anymore.
If I'm a miserable slob sitting on the couch and I got nothing going on, she might look at me and be like, get the hell out of here. I don't want to be a part of
yeah,
that program.
Yeah, you never know.
I don't know.
It is. I
mean, people change. I can't speak to it. I understand what you're saying. It does seem like it's more than just a coincidence that all of a sudden the fame and the money stops coming in and
but people decide to take off. But I think people, like, they get used to a certain lifestyle and your lifestyle changes. So if you don't plan for retirement as a pro athlete, and we see it all the time, there are guys that, you know, you're eating at, what's a big steakhouse here? Barbarian Steakhouse, $100 steaks and wines and all that. And then all of a sudden, the checks stop. How many of those stories have you seen guys that 30 for 30 broke and that? They lived that lifestyle. And the wife, it's not that the wife's a gold digger. She's used to it too. And then all of a sudden things change. And then there's financial strain. And a lot of times the player, when they play, they're not around. Well, so all of a sudden you're staring
Andy
at that
Petrillo
person.
Just texted me and said, if you came at her with that game, like with a 22-year-old, parents' basement, no gig, no
I don't believe for a second Andy just sent you that text.
Okay, I'll show it to you in the break.
No, show it to me right now.
No,
I guarantee you it didn't happen. There's no way Andy would send that text.
Andy would
Dude,
like
Dude, you
me.
Had no game. You had no chance. You're telling me you had the...
I'm not saying
a college
I had game.
Cheater list.
I'm saying you didn't in Toronto. Maybe in Raleigh, North Carolina.
You had a gift
Carolina.
Basket. You gave this was your gift, a Keurig little coffee thing on the way out.
That's
that was
right.
Your gift basket.
Yeah. What's wrong with that? It's better than nothing.
It's true.
A Keurig gift basket.
Just lay that
a
on
pod,
the,
a
yeah, little
Keurig
pod.
Pod.
Just lay that on the person's phone.
Just initial that thing.
On the
breakfast
way
blend.
But
Kirkland.
I think you're right. I think it happens in all walks of life.
Yeah, of course it does.
From my experience and my friends and stuff that have gone through it, it's you're used to going to the rink. You're routine oriented, and all of a sudden you have nothing to do, And now you start to butt into the wife's life.
That's what I think is the biggest. That's why what you just said jokingly a minute ago. If I'm sitting at home for like a year straight and I got nothing going on, I don't know how my wife would react.
You're just a slob watching TV all day long.
Exactly. That can grate on people. But in sports in particular, it's not just that they left for the office and came home. Right. You're gone for weeks.
You're gone for 2 days at a time, 3 days.
Exactly.
Five,
get the hell out of the house. Leave me alone.
So there is a layer of independence with it. And then when the independence is gone, technically, because one person is on, they're on top of each other, you have to either learn to live with each other again, because it may have happened early in your career and now at retirement.
I would think golf would be the worst for that. Because golfers, they basically are playing like...
Aren't they gone like 4 days a week?
Oh, yeah, at least. I mean, you usually get in there for like a sponsors round on a Tuesday.
Yeah, so
then
Tuesday
you practice round on a Wednesday, then you're playing, you know,
back
like
Monday,
45 weeks of the year, you're on the road all over the world, gone.
But that's where, I mean, you know, we're not a relationship show. If you have strong relationship, it works. If you don't, you can have a crack in any relationship, and something will force that to open up. So in pro sports, I do see that, though. And I think a lot of it is a player who retires struggles with having, you know, not having that routine. And then there's the financial strain, and then there's a lot of other things that come with it. And that's why I think a good financial planner, especially like these kids nowadays, I guarantee you they've got financial planners and people that are in place to help them for that transition.
Absolutely. But like we just pointed out, money is only half of it. You got to do something with your time.
Correct.
You got to stay motivated. You got to keep pushing ahead.
The best advice I got was a 35-year-old NHL player said to me one time, he said, you plan for afterlife, after your career, because he said, if you want to live till you're 90, let's say, what are you going to do from 35 to 90? You know, stare at the wall.
Mm-hmm. 55 years, you got to figure out something.
55 years, you got to find a way to keep yourself happy. It's not even, you're right, it's not the financial thing. It's about challenging yourself. You've been a high-level athlete for many years, and all of a sudden you're not challenged in that way because you're not there anymore.
You can text us 105050 with your name. We were talking about Podcast Guy yesterday, the people that listen to the podcast, and a lot of times the next day or even days later or weeks later, they'll text in being like, yeah, I'm listening to a podcast from 2 months ago. I can't believe how stupid you sound. And you're like, where did that come from? This is an absolutely shocking text. This is from Nathan, who's listening to the show. I guess he's live now, but he was listening to the podcast. He's down on Bloor Street. Mm-hmm. He said, I was listening to yesterday's Overdrive podcast. As a Leaf fan, I got to say, you guys need to get your heads checked. The Love Guru was sick. The movie The Love Guru is one of the great movies of all time.
The Love Guru is the worst movie that's ever been made.
It wasn't a great movie.
No,
and
Jamie.
I'm a movie. Listen, I've not that I know. I see a lot of movies, but I don't proclaim to be a movie specialist. But I didn't. When I leave a movie, I always look back and say, did it steal 2 hours of my life? Or $1.90 or
this
whatever.
This was highway thievery.
It struggled.
It was. Rob the bank of my life.
I'm front and center, one of the big Mike Myers fans. Love the guy.
I support
it
him,
It just
too,
struggled.
You
got
to call a spade a spade.
Because the star power was in it.
They should have
changed
it.
Timberlake
in it.
To the great white Shart.
Yeah, it that movie, but you know what? It's funny. Opinions are all about movies.
Well, of course, it's subjective.
It's subjective because people are there's people like when I see the Oscars come out and I see all those movies, there's some that I don't like at all.
You know what would be crazy? Like, okay, bear with me here for a second. Because this is one of the dumbest ideas I've ever had in my life. But I think it would really be crazy.
You think it'd be awesome?
Just once.
Okay.
In the NHL, they stop with the standings. They don't even keep score. You just have to watch every team play, and you rate the teams, almost like Rotten Tomatoes. And that is how it's based at the end of the year. So you've watched every single team play. You don't know how many points they have, but you've watched them enough where you're like, this team is a 78% Rotten Tomatoes. That means they're the fifth seed.
Yeah.
This is 100%. What an unbelievable team. They're the first seed. You know how crazy that would be if you got to personally evaluate the teams as opposed to them playing it out, and that's how it determines?
You know what? I think I will...
Like total team eye test?
Total team eye test.
I will back you with this on one small layer. it would force people to watch other teams.
You'd have to watch everybody.
Because I don't know how many times where, like, people think that, I'll just throw a name out there. Like, Connor Brown, friend of the show, we love him, right? Connor Brown. But, like, people think that Connor Brown is better than Player X.
King.
Exactly, Player X over there. Oh, this guy, you fall in love with your own team.
All the time.
So it would force people to watch the 31 teams and go, actually, you know what?
I got to give them a pretty good rating.
That's a better team than people think.
And, yeah.
And you know what would be funny? Vegas would be, for me, not as high as Winnipeg, per se.
Based on what you've seen
Based on what I saw.
Like, what's your eye test top five?
Well,
talking Winnipeg, Boston, Nashville, Vegas.
Well, Tampa early, man.
Tampa early. Like, there was some... you know, it's funny. Like, Washington was quite consistent, even though they... I think they had a slow start, and Backstrom didn't have the greatest season, Holtby, but they were a team that played pretty well all year.
Well,
but just flew under the radar. They're sixth.
They won their division.
It'd be like NCAA basketball, where it's like you play the year, and then it's like, okay, you're ranked here, you don't make it, and you get a panel together.
Maybe that's what it is.
But then there's
not my stupid idea. It's a panel. Like, you have a panel of experts, and they rank the teams.
It's like, you don't make it. You're not. Here's the East. Here's the West. Here's the rankings.
Do you know how controversial that
ranking would be? Well, it would be, because think about it.
The people on the panel would have to have protection for security.
Yeah, the Kim Jong-un runners beside their limo.
But there would be team eye tests, and you could actually do, if you did team analytics, because if you think about it, there are teams that have amazing possession stats that didn't make the playoffs.
Right. Like, Carolina's always a team people look at. They're like, look at their numbers.
I don't have it in front of me, but I could look it up very quickly.
Look at their goalie, too, while you're
at
it.
Well, that's the problem.
But that's the thing. Like, there were high possession teams that didn't make the playoffs. I think Montreal was a high possession team, a Corsi team, because they had a lot of shots on goal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you dug deeper into it, there were a lot of empty power shots and couldn't score and stuff. But that's what I mean. Like, there would be such a contrast in certain scenarios. Good teams are just good teams. So I think there would be a crossover. But there would be.
What you'd hope to avoid is the mob mentality and group thinking.
Right.
You know, where it's just. Whatever, you just start voting on whatever everybody else is voting on.
But that happens all the time. Think about the Norris Trophy.
All the time. Yeah, it happens all the time.
No, this guy's, you know, great player, but it's his turn.
It's his turn because everyone keeps saying it, so I guess we're going to vote for him.
Right. That's, you know, I think that's something that factors in a lot of different fronts.
I was disappointed last night. I mean, we kept teeing up the night all afternoon, and the NBA game was awful. Cleveland didn't even show up, and really Tampa didn't show up either. Like, Washington
was brilliant.
They were dominant last night. Like, Tampa was brutal, but I think it was in large part because Washington, like, that OV goal a minute in was huge. Set the whole
tone for the game.
That was
an unreal shot.
Mm.
Like, I just did a libero on it for SportsCenter. He shot it from 41 feet out. He was backing up, had to open his feet to get available. I mean, that's what one-timer guys do. I mean, I'm sure that was your wheelhouse too. But it was such an amazing play. And, you know, it's just over a minute in.
And I'm glad
that actually stood up as the game-winning goal. Because think of the series-clinching goal against Pittsburgh was the Kuznetsov breakaway goal. Ovi took the puck off Sid and fed it up to Kuznetsov. Like, those are the types of things, like, when I look back on it, and I was thinking about it this afternoon, I think Fleury's the runaway Conn Smythe, but I think Ovi's pushing him.
Oh, I think if they win and they dominate, and
he's
Ovi...
He's got 12 goals.
Yeah, like, for sure.
I think Alex
he's
Ovechkin
has been the face of this run for them.
You're right, but I mean, 2 games ago, like, let's say 4 days ago, 5 days ago, it was Fleury and nobody's touching him, in my opinion. And then now I think you start to look at it, and I'm like, man, Ovi's had some critical moments in the playoffs. Remember, he batted it out of the air, the game-winning goal, the 4-3
goal. That was against Pittsburgh. That
against
was
against Pittsburgh, off the post, bats it out of the air.
And like, that was, I think, game four. They were down 2-1. They needed that. That was a must-win.
This is a guy who has been large for them.
Like, if Vegas wins, Fleury is a lock.
For sure,
there's
lock.
No one else close. I think if the Caps win, I don't know if Ovi's a lock, like maybe somebody else.
I don't think he's a lock.
Trust me, it's a lock because of just popularity and Ovi. But this guy took the trophy home, put it in his car, and took it into his living room last night. He will win it for them.
But you're right. But I think Fleury's how much of a percentage of a reason why Vegas is in the final? Would he be 50%?
I was going to say 75.
It's a lot.
So, I mean, there's a, like, there's heavy, heavy. Like, I'm a Fleury guy right now as far as if I was voting today. Yeah. But, I mean, Ovi, I think Ovi took some percentage off of him last night. And
if Washington wins, it's automatic. Ovi.
Really? I didn't. I don't think.
Trust me, the
odd.
People voting. Oh, Sidney Crosby, when they beat the San Jose Sharks, he wasn't necessarily the best player, but everyone's like, "Oh, it's Sidney Crosby."
Yeah,
they buy into that. But they vote that.
But if Whether San Jose did, was a,
they won't admit it, but they do.
But San Jose wasn't an expansion team that nobody expected to make the playoffs. Like I'm
talking about the Conn Smythe though. It's like when the celebrity, the star guy is in the mix, they always get it. And Ovi, if Washington wins, he will win it 100%. They will all vote for him. They've loved chewing him up over the years, but they'll love to see him win, and they will love to vote for him.
I
think he's in the driver's seat, there's no doubt. You're saying he could pull like a Jean-Sebastian Jaguar, Ronnie Hextall? Like,
I think
even if Vegas loses, Fleury wins it?
Because he's the reason why they're there.
I think they'd have to lose in seven, and he stole three games and was unreal. I think if all of a sudden, balloons are going
Agreed.
In.
Right. But you're right. It's how things unfold. If Vegas gets swept in four or vice versa, then obviously it lays out a lot differently. But I'm saying if this is a good series, then there's no guarantee that Ovi scores another 4-5 goals. He's at 12 right now.
They need him to.
They need him to. To win the cup, they're going to have to. Like, let's not forget, Vegas is well rested, and they've rinsed everyone that's come near them.
Every round, they're well rested, and they play for keeps.
Unreal.
Right off the bat. Our buddy Matt Sakaris will join us from TSN Radio in Vancouver. He's very familiar with the Leafs hiring of Lawrence Gilman. Lawrence Gilman is the new assistant GM for the Leafs. So get you an update on his background, what he was up to in Vancouver, what the Leafs are getting here. Catch up with him. The Jays got just spanked earlier today. Not good. Dropping 2 of 3 against the Angels after getting swept in a 4-game series against Oakland.
I'm fine with, like, you can admit it now. You're not contending. You're not competing. You're not good. So let's go forward and get ahead of the curve here and try to look to the future.
They're 7 out of a second wild card.
Yeah, and it doesn't look like it. When this starts snowballing downhill, it's not good.
It's awful. They're not a very good team. I mean, there's no dancing around it. It's not like they're getting unlucky. They're just not a very good team. So we'll touch on that, what happened in the NBA last night, what will happen in the NBA tonight. And again, Matt Sakaris will join us. Rays coming up. Darren Dreger. Overdrive continues on the TSN app.
You're the guy that would email in and text radio shows saying, "You're crazy. What you just said is ridiculous." That was you.
I don't think I've ever done that. No, I've never called.
Never.
You see that a lot, like with media guys where they grow up and they're like, "I remember calling into sports radio when I was a kid or doing this, that, or the other." I never really had the urge to call in. I'd listen a lot as a kid, but
long time listener, first time caller.
I like that. We don't accept calls that much, but
we could open up the phone lines at some point.
Not fire today. It up today.
Well, we're
Jack's
calling
what going on? What
we're calling Sakaris in a minute, but yeah, we can do calls later. We got to figure out what we want to take calls on.
Worst movie ever. And what are your thoughts on Jays proceeding forward? Leafs management moves? Give us your thoughts.
Well, there is a lot there.
Worst movie ever is Cabin Boy.
See, I'm with, who was it that sent this in? Tyler tweeted in saying Jack and Jill is the worst movie
Sandler,
of all time.
Yeah, that was, no. That
what
was
is
my the, vote.
What is my vote?
Love Guru.
Love
it?
Guru is the worst movie that's ever, ever
you put
been
up
made.
A poll then. Is it Cabin Boy? Is it Love Guru?
Or we got to get some other option. Like,
or other writing.
No, those are the three. Jack and Jill, I paid money to go see that. I brought my niece.
Me too. Love Guru. I walked out.
It Chris Elliott. Nobody's ever heard of Cabin Boy. It was 68 minutes long.
I love those. 68 minutes. Like, just make it a TV special and stop wasting people's time.
Just, if you get a chance, check out Cabin Boy. I'll check it out to see what even if Rotten Tomatoes even gave it a rating.
Oh, they will. Find that. Overdrive is delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com. All right, our buddy Matt Sakaris from TSN Radio in Vancouver. Very familiar with Lawrence Gilman. Lawrence Gilman was hired as the assistant GM here in Toronto today. He will join us in 2 minutes.
You just can't tell me there's a worse movie than Love Guru out there. There's not.
I misspoke. Cabin Boy was 81 minutes long, and it was...
basically The Godfather.
I never seen Cabin Boy because I think after I watched Love Guru, I quit movies.
I'm telling you.
This was garbage.
If there's probably not anybody out there who has seen all three of those movies. Cabin Boy...
I think I have.
I have. Have
I think
seen
I
Cabin
have.
Boy
oh,
too?
I've seen Cabin Boy. And it was horrendous.
I know.
An absolutely abysmal movie.
I think it's worse.
But Jack
than
and Jill's
Jill.
The worst movie of all time. Dude, Adam Sandler plays his twin sister, but then the non-twin starts hooking up with Al Pacino. It's the dumbest movie in history.
It wasn't good.
I should have asked for a refund on the way out. If I had any stones, I would have walked out and said, that's not happening. That was torture. But you, that was waterboarding.
But you would rather sit through Cabin Boy than that, eh?
Yeah, I would.
Wow.
All right. Lawrence Gilman, the new assistant GM of the Toronto Maple Leafs. We've got Matt Sakaris on the line from TSN 1040 out in Vancouver. Your boy-o.
Matt, how you doing, buddy?
I'm fantastic. Good to hear you guys are tackling the meaty subjects of the day.
Yeah.
We kind of tend to veer off into ridiculous type of garbage. You saw our hashtag that happened out in BC last week.
Oh, my God.
We had a field day with that one, pal.
See, I liked your hashtag better than the actual video itself. I thought the hashtag was funnier than the video itself.
But. Well, yeah.
Matt, whenever someone gets hired, we have a host here, Mr. Brian Hayes. He's dying to find out what this person's all about, what they're going to bring to the table.
I'm sure.
So explain this to this gentleman to my right.
What is Lawrence Gilman all about?
Well, if you're looking for your replacement for Mark Hunter, the rink rat, dyed-in-the-wool hockey scout, this isn't your guy. It's not like Lawrence is deficient as a scout. He has run AHL teams. He has overseen drafts, but that's not his bread and butter. His bread and butter is that he is a wizard with contract negotiations, the collective agreement, the salary cap, analytics, many facets of an organization, on top of being just an exceptional communicator and a guy who even agents who have been through, you know, a tough negotiation with him will feel good about and talk nicely about when the day is said and done. A tremendous professional, but an even better person. And we were lucky enough that since last August, he had been a regular contributor on our show. He would spend 2 hours daily with us in studio on a Wednesday. We'd call it Wednesdays with Lawrence. And our audience just lit up each and every time that he came on the air, you know, for the stories he would be able to tell about his time with the Canucks and the Coyotes. And he was there during some dark days with the Coyotes and the Winnipeg Jets, his hometown Winnipeg Jets. But also his insight into NHL matters, you know, from the business to, you know, the mundane call-ups and things like that, as well as his sense of humor. And he's a very outgoing, funny, and self-deprecating guy. And, you know, I hope the Leafs at some point give him an opportunity to communicate with the public there in Toronto and the Leafs fans, because I think they'll quite enjoy him.
I wouldn't hold your breath on that.
No,
my understanding
think so.
Is that even though Lou's not here, Lou's rules in terms of the assistant GMs and assistant coaches, they're not talking. So,
and that's fair. And that's fair, Brian. And I completely understand why organizations do that. But I will tell you this, like, as he was the number two here in Vancouver, the right-hand man to Mike Gillis during their best years when they won back-to-back President's Trophies and came within a game of winning the Stanley Cup. And when the kitchen got too hot for Gillis, and you know, our media isn't too dissimilar than Toronto, just perhaps a fewer people in the scrum. When it started to get too hot, when the pressure was on, Gillis basically punted communications duties and, you know, the voice of management to Gilman, and he calmed a lot of waters in those days.
Well, it'll be interesting because Dubas is a pretty good communicator too, and Dubas is, you know, he's a younger guy. This is his first gig, and like, do you get the impression like Lawrence Gilman is the kind of guy that would be coming to Toronto with the idea of eventually getting an opportunity at a GM position here in Toronto or elsewhere?
Or is it what we talked about yesterday, where it's like it's kind of a low-key name? Where, Matt, we were talking about it yesterday. It's like, if you were a young GM, why would you want to bring in really high-profile people around you? Because in this market, you lose three games. It's like,
Yeah.
The big name is in the front page of the sports page saying, oh, it's this guy's job now. We got to get rid of the young. Like, it's just crazy.
Yeah. Well, first things first, guys. I mean, given Kyle Dubas's ascension here, given his stature or his reputation in the eyes of Brendan Shanahan, given his youth, I would think that Kyle Dubas is the Maple Leafs general manager for a significant portion of time here, particularly with a good young up-and-coming team. So if you're talking about Lawrence as being a non-threatening assistant GM, I think you can see it that way. I know he aspires to be a general manager in the National Hockey League one day. I would be surprised if his contract doesn't have an out, or if he doesn't have some kind of verbal assurance that if opportunities came up somewhere else, that maybe he would get that opportunity. And my understanding is the way that this came about is even though, you know, he knew Kyle Dubas, and I believe they sat with each other during AHL board meetings when Lawrence was the governor and general manager of the Utica Comets, the Vancouver farm team, and Kyle was overseeing the Marlies. I believe the table goes alphabetically, so T and U sit beside each other. But I do believe there's a deeper relationship with Brandon Pridham, and I believe that's sort of where, you know, the ball got rolling on this hire. And I think it came about very, very quickly over the last week or so. And I think it also shows a great sense of security in Dubas, that he would go out and find a guy who is quite well regarded, who has a lot of skills, and that who could maybe one day be a general manager for an NHL team.
He is Matt Sakaris of TSN Radio in Vancouver. We're chatting about the Maple Leaf hiring earlier today of Lawrence Gilman as the new assistant GM here in Toronto. He's the assistant GM in Vancouver from 08 through 15. So he's been out of the game, so to speak, for the past three years. Was he, based on your knowledge, was he offered other deals? Was he waiting for the best opportunity? I mean, what's he been doing for three years?
He interviewed for the Carolina Hurricanes general manager's job. He was offered a position there, although it wasn't the general manager's job. He turned it down. My understanding is he had another very good opportunity here recently that he may well have accepted, if not for the Leafs' offer. Guys, he also helped. I mean, effectively, he's the architect of the Vegas expansion draft as well. The National Hockey League and Bill Daly, who I think, you know, holds Lawrence in extremely high regard, and I know the commissioner does as well because we had him on our show earlier this year, and he said as much, reached out to Lawrence and said, you know, help us craft an expansion agreement that's going to make Vegas more competitive than your traditional expansion team. So he not only endeavored with that project, he then went about going to Vegas and tutoring George McPhee and George McPhee's staff on the best way to go about skinning this cat. And it seems like it was pretty good advice, because here we are and Vegas is in the Stanley Cup final based on the fruits of this draft. So he's an extremely intelligent guy, put it that way. And so when you're talking about guys with this sort of intelligence, with this sort of natural gift for communication, a broad skill set, there would be a lot of opportunities in Lawrence's future, beyond just your standard NHL general manager or executive role.
Matt, thanks for doing this. Before we let you go, what is the worst movie ever?
Oh, my goodness.
Mine's Love Guru.
Let him choose between the three that we were just talking about.
Well, maybe he has his own. What do you think is the worst movie you've ever seen where you're just like, that's pathetic?
Boy, you put me on the spot. Any movie that has to do with...
you got to come up with one. You can't just say a type of movie.
We said Cabin Boy.
Okay, I'll tell you what, because I encountered this movie recently. I hadn't even considered it or thought about it for years. Teen Wolf. Y'all
what?
Remember Teen Wolf?
That was an awesome movie.
Yeah, don't say
with,
that.
Canadian.
Get this guy off the phone.
We're very proud
no.
here in BC about Michael J. Fox.
Yeah,
dude, that was the best movie
that's
ever.
However, dunking werewolves at the high school gymnasium.
Right.
Yeah.
No.
It didn't age well, gentlemen. It didn't age well.
Chubbs in the post waiting for the ball. I mean, or, I love
or
Teen
the scene where he walks into the living room and his dad has suddenly just become the werewolf and is ready for for the talk with them.
Almost we're out like of time, buddy. We're out of time, pal.
Thank you, Matt. Appreciate
Be
it,
good,
buddy.
Friends. All the best.
There's Matt Sakaris from TSN Radio in Vancouver.
Not a Teen Wolf fan.
That's shocking.
What the hell did he just say? That's my favorite movie.
I love Teen Wolf.
It is brilliant.
I love it.
But I mean, Chubb's just waiting for the three balls.
He's just in the post.
I will say, though,
post,
if you go back and
feed
watch
him.
It, there
feed
are,
Chubbs.
There are movies that don't age well. Like Back to the Future, if you go back, because of the
you just
special
see some
effects
goofy
and stuff,
things.
You're like, okay, you know, like, because it's just technology's come so far.
Technology and stuff.
The sadness stuff. On Chubb's face when Michael J. Fox starts playing the hero role.
Yeah. It's bad. He hates him. He hates Teen Wolf.
Yeah, he did hate him.
We got to get that song. You got to go with the flow, Joe. It's such a bad 80s Teen Wolf tune. Let's just play all 80s. We got Billy Squire.
Yeah, Billy Squire. See, anything with Roadhouse. You like the movie Roadhouse
Love.
With Swayze?
Yeah, it's all right.
God,
what's the
was
guy's
he
name?
A stud.
Sam. The
his girlfriend in that movie.
The guy
was
with the deep,
so pretty.
The guy with the deep voice. The other bouncer.
The guy with the goatee.
Sam. Yeah, I think in real life his name's Sam something.
I don't know.
That guy could fight.
Oh,
that
they just
so
kicked
gritty.
The hell out of people.
It was awesome.
All right, Rays coming up. We got to get into Game 5, Houston, Golden State tonight. Big swing game. We think Klay Thompson will play. We're not sure if Iguodala will play. The Jays got smoked earlier today. We'll start touching on that. What happened last night in Game 7? What we can expect in the Cup Final? And the Leafs making another hiring earlier today. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050.
Silence of the Lambs is a classic.
It's a great movie, but dude, no one wants to be in the club dancing to the track that Buffalo Bill was dancing to. Like,
with a tight tuck.
The tightest.
That's
tightest
not good.
Tug.
Not good.
No. All right, so race coming up in about 10 minutes, and we're also going to get into the NBA. And it wasn't a great night last night in sports. Like, the end of the Jays game was riveting, unless you're a Jays fan, because
yeah,
they
like
blew it.
They gave it away. You're right. Like, LeBron was sick, right? Is that what they're saying?
Wow. Did you see him drinking the water? Like, that felt like a bit of a hero move.
Yeah,
I'm a LeBron apologist, but you don't have to sit at, like, the scorer's table and slug, like, a 2-liter bottle of water to prove that you're going to be rehydrated and ready to go.
Yeah,
like, go sit down. And
you know the rule. What's the rule?
Put the jersey on. You're 100%.
Nobody cares. Stop it.
No, you didn't play well last night. It wasn't close. Like, credit to Boston, man.
It's amazing
doing this
how
their best
famous
player.
And popular the way people are talked about, and they all care about their perception. Kevin Durant had a fake Twitter account to chirp people chirping him. You're Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
Why do they care? Like, what are these guys? What's wrong with
because
these guys?
Because they're human.
But
that's what
they're
human.
And
human
they have
instincts.
An ego, and they've got.
LeBron is LeBron, and you think he knows that he has to drink the water, so people are watching it.
Well,
it's like, are you crazy?
It's the Kyle Lowry routine, throwing up shots after the game on the main court when you could go upstairs and nobody sees you. It's right, the famous. I got to prove that I'm really into it. When you don't really have to. You had an off night. You lost. No one's debating the greatness of LeBron because he didn't play well in one game.
That's the point. So why do you feel the need that you got to...
I don't know, man. But, dude, it happens all the time. We hear about stories all the time about how coaches and GMs, they're listening. They hear stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they play the role. They'll come on here and be like, oh, no, we never listen to sports radio. We don't read the papers. Yes, you do.
Yeah.
You all do. You
we
all
live in a
listening.
Hole. It's everywhere.
You know what's going on.
You walk into the building, into any dressing room, there's TVs everywhere.
Right.
The TVs aren't on the music channel. They're on sports channels.
Right. They know what's up.
Exactly.
All right. Rays coming up. We'll get into Game 5, Houston, Golden State. The Jays getting smoked. And we got to get into that game last night as well. Game 7 and the fight between Wilson and Coburn.
Great fight.
Overdrive continues. TSN 1050.
You've been listening to Overdrive, delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com.